This is the Tom Bernard Morning Show.
The Tom Bernard Morning Show.
Streamed every morning on the Tom Bernard Show app and anytime on demand wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're a certain age, you remember playing Duck Hunt on the original Nintendo. I never played. Did you play Duck Hunt?
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't remember that game.
They have a little dog.
There's a little. See, I think I got to the video game thing late.
Yeah.
I just don't think I had much. I used to like to go to. There's a place called Playland downtown Minneapolis on Hennepin Avenue. And I used to love to go in there because it was all the, you know, pinball machines and all that kind of stuff. And then a lot the home stuff came along. We didn't really do it until Andy was, I think, probably about 10. So that would have been 96. Is that about when this stuff
you
started?
You were pretty busy when all the video games were coming out.
Sir. Yeah, that's true.
I was very into being a half centimeter from the screen with Duck Hunt and shooting those ducks. And
oh, so you actually shoot at is it? So they give you a gun to shoot at
the
screen?
Yeah, it's like an orange plastic gun. It was super. I felt so advanced.
Did it?
Oh, it felt like the most. I think I was more excited about that than I've ever been about Oculus. That's beyond. I was
What's
shocked.
What's Oculus?
That's the 3D headset.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, you see those on the clip shows all the time because people do weird things when they're wearing those.
Yeah, do you want me to bring my headset in?
No, I'm good. I'm good to go.
I'd be pretty fun to see
Oculus,
you in.
Oculus, I'm good. Actually, the only video game I ever really cared for. I mean, I played some other ones that are okay, but my favorite was still Tiger Woods Golf.
You loved it.
That was a good game.
Can I talk about, okay, one time I was setting up Tom for the morning show. I was working overnights, sending him a bunch of stuff, and he messaged me saying, hey, I'm missing this, and said, okay, sounds good. And I'd always hear birds in the background. And so he'd be in Florida. So I had this idea that he was like, there's this window that was near him and all these tropical birds were hanging out. And it was just like in my mind, majestic. And one day I finally was like, God, there's so many wild birds near you. That's just must be such a cool area. He goes, oh, no, that's from Tiger Woods Golf.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Like, where do you think he's like, I'm in like a closet. Okay. There's no window. I'm trying to do a radio show. You're hearing the video game right now.
You know, I'll be honest with you. When you're not that good a golfer, playing Tiger Woods is great because you're a phenomenal golfer when you play that game.
Yeah, you got
you're
into it.
Really good, man.
You got into that one. That one was you had fun with that.
They stopped making that one like 2012, I think, was the last one of those.
Yeah, I think when his wife hit him with a 9-iron is when they pulled the plug on it. You ever play Golden Tee?
The one in like bars?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
You can buy them now for like $400. Oh, they're a blast.
It is fun. Yeah. That's a lot of fun playing those games. No question about it. But I should try. I wonder, can you still buy Tiger Woods Golf? I suppose they probably shut most of that down now, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I imagine you can find it for a system. Because the newer systems, they usually have like retro games where you can play some of the older systems games on the new version.
So, that's good.
Yeah, I imagine you'd still be able to.
That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you're a certain age, you remember playing Duck Hunt on the original Nintendo, chasing the ducks across TV screen with that gray and orange gun-shaped controller. So there you go. That's what you were talking about.
Yes, sir.
The 25-year-old guy in North Carolina named David D'Alessandro robbed a convenience store on two. He robbed it with a Duck Hunt gun.
Mm-hmm.
Who would fall for that?
I don't know.
Orange plastic, is it? Right?
I don't know.
It's orange plastic. I'm trying to think if the heat of the moment, if somebody ran in here with a Duck Hunt, I'd recognize it.
You're not going to think that's a gun.
I wonder if you cut the cord off. I wonder if it's in there because there's a cord that attaches to the system.
Well, is there a hole where the barrel should be or is it just a little screeny thing?
It's a teeny little screeny
thing.
That's
what I thought.
It's an angled barrel and then it's got like a screeny deal.
Doesn't look anything like a real gun, if I remember.
If you weren't using it, maybe you wouldn't know better.
But there's nowhere for the bullet to come out.
Well, it's not like you can see the screeny thing.
Oh, you can't?
No.
Okay, because I remember the very first ones, you could see the screen.
It's like a beveled little, you wouldn't be able to tell if it.
But still, orange plastic, I would not want to shoot an orange plastic gun, I got to be honest with you.
But they make plastic, like BB guns and pellet guns.
Yeah, pellet guns they do. Yep, that's true. You shoot me the pellet all you want. Shoot me right in the ass. What do you think of that?
Shoot me right in the head with that.
I remember watching guys do that at the old North Commons Park once. They were shooting each other in the ass with pellet guns.
Oh, wow. That's neat.
It's like, what, are you pretending you're a tough guy? Are you a tough guy now because somebody can shoot you in the butt cheek?
You guys ever have Roman candle fights?
What are
those? Oh, well, you aim, yeah, and it shoots out. Yeah, I remember that. God, I haven't heard thought about that in years.
Yeah. Yeah, the Roman candle shoots like 10 like flaming balls, and then you just fire them at each other. And that was your entertainment back in 1989.
Anybody get it in the face ever?
Never,
that's got to hurt.
Never got one in the face. Got one in the thigh one time.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wouldn't care for that. Okay, this 25-year-old guy in Corinth, North Carolina, named David D'Alessandro, robbed a convenience store on Tuesday afternoon with a plastic duck hunt gun that was painted black, so it wasn't that. Oh, so it wasn't orange anymore.
Okay.
But couldn't you also tell if it was painted or not?
I don't know. I mean, things are so heated in those moments.
Yeah, that's true.
You're,
good point.
Yeah, you're not really breaking things down.
It's unclear if David knew what the gun was. If he's 25, the game was before his time. Maybe he just found it while he was living in his parents' basement. The robbery, see, there was supposed to be a joke there, I think, that they wrote in there that none of us laughed at because it's not funny. The robbery was successful momentarily. David showed the gun and took $300. Here's what I've never understood. You're going to pull off an armed robbery for $300? You're going to go to jail for a few years for $300. I don't understand that at all. The clerk called the cops. They found David down the street and arrested him somewhere. Why did I start reading this?
Is it bad?
Somewhere a cartoon dog is giggling at him. Why do they write this? Stop writing that in there. Right?
I love that little dog in that game.
What's the little dog look like?
It's like a St. Bernard almost.
Yeah, oh, with really? Big ears. It's got a hound. Yeah, like.
I thought it would have been a little dog.
No, he goes, hoo, 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 when you miss, and he's so cute.
Was he really Cujo-like?
No.
Remember Cujo?
Yeah.
That was a sheepdog, wasn't it? Or a
St.
Bernard or something.
No, that was a Rottweiler.
Was Cujo a Rottweiler?
I think so, yeah.
I thought it wasn't.
Oh, no, you're right. That was a St. Bernard,
actually. It was a St. Bernard, I think.
Let me look, yeah.
Yeah, is a St. Bernard or a, I can't remember the other brand or whatever.
No, you're right, it's St. Bernard.
It is. I thought it was a scary St. Bernard. Ooh. I thought that was ridiculous.
St. Bernard.
I do too. They're not scary in the least.
I fostered a St. Bernard named Pickles, who was
Pickles.
120 pounds and 30 pounds underweight.
Holy Hannah.
So you could see Pickles' rib cage and was still 120 pounds. And man, their spit is like rubber cement. If it gets stuck somewhere, you have to like scrub it off because it's not coming off.
I would hate that.
It was rough.
We have to take a break because Chris Eggert's coming up in just a couple minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Yo, I've got to say it. I'm feeling fantastic. I really am, you know. As you may have heard, I've been following the fat loss program at mnfatloss.com, and I've lost right now about 24 pounds. I've been following the program for about 6 weeks now. Like I said, losing 4 pounds a week. I'm very happy with that. And I can tell you it feels great to be going into summer having lost the weight in just a few weeks' time. You will absolutely be able to lose weight like I've done and still enjoy the foods you love this summer. I'm eating my favorite grilled steak and chicken along with fresh vegetables and berries. It's all stuff that I love. I drink lots of water, too. No wonder I feel great. If you want to find out the secret to losing 20 to 30 pounds, I'm right in the middle of that at 24. 20 to 30 pounds in just 8 weeks, just like I'm doing. That's about a pound of fat every day. No exercise required. To schedule your free consultation, go to mnfatloss.com. That would be mnfatloss.com. Results may vary. Be sure to tell them the team, of course, at mnfatloss.com that Tom Bernard sent you.
It's the Memorial Day auction from Air Mechanical.
Oh.
Your chance to save up to 70% on items.
Like this.
You can save up to 70% on these amazing items and services. Bid now on a super high efficiency plus condensing tankless water heater from Rinnai. Enjoy an endless supply of hot water. Also bid on Aerosil duct ceiling. Very effective way to improve the efficiency of heating and cooling systems by reducing air leakage. Just go to TomBernardShow.com and enter keyword auction to bid now. That's TomBernardShow.com and enter keyword auction.
The new Tom Bernard Morning Show is proud to have partners like Bradshaw & Bryant, MyPillow, and North American Banking Company founder, chairman, and president, Mike Bilski.
I've advertised on Tom's show for years, and the reason is simple. My business is recognized because of the ads, and that recognition has created growth. What business doesn't want to grow? I highly recommend the Tom Bernard Morning Show for your advertising.
Grow results for your business by partnering with the Tom Bernard Morning Show. Visit TomBernardShow.com, keyword partner.
This is Bob Sansevier, and I want to tell you about Dave Bialki from Bialki Law. Dave represented my wife, Mary, when she had a significant workplace injury. She was very happy with the job Dave did. If you have a work-related injury and have Dave represent you, I'm betting you'll be happy too. Dave is a down-to-earth guy. He grew up in northern Minnesota, rides a Harley, and worked various jobs doing concrete, electrical, plumbing, roofing, and carpentry work. Dave works for people with work-related injuries. If you work construction, or anywhere for that matter, and you're hurt or even just hurting, you should talk to Dave. Let's face it, our bodies wear out. If your body is worn out from work, if your knees or back or shoulders hurt from things you do at work, do what Mary did. Call Dave and talk to him about it at Bialke Law to set up a free initial consultation. The number to call is 763-571-2410. That's 763-571-2410. Or visit BialkeLaw.com. That's BialkeLaw.com.
9 rounds of golf for $90?
Yep. The Minnesota Golf Passport is back and available now at TomBernardShow.com. As a Golf Passport cardholder, you're entitled to 9 18-hole rounds of golf for just one low price of $90. Supplies are limited, so just go to TomBernardShow.com and type keyword passport. A $300 golf value for just
90 bucks?
Now you got it. TomBernardShow.com, keyword passport.
This is the Tom Bernard Morning Show Podcast.
Look at that. She put her headphones on the second we were back on the air. I'm very impressed.
Professional.
Very, very impressed.
After I tried to shut the door in your face.
She tried to slam the door in my face just now. I'm having a hell of a morning. I got here, I was in a great mood. Now I feel horrible. Chris, explain it to me.
Fix it, Chris.
I'm in a great mood. Oh, now you just disappeared, too.
He'll be up in a second.
I'm not here now?
Yeah, you're there. Yep.
Okay, good.
I'm not on my screen. He's not, but you know. Ah, nope, he's gone again. No, he's there. I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry, Tom. You know, those days suck because you go in with high expectations and then it kind
of
derails.
I just get squashed is the problem.
You can turn it around. Right now, you can just turn it around.
I cannot believe you weren't there when I got there yesterday to the Hubbard building.
I know, well, I actually ended up being there kind of late, and I thought about sticking around.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of crap to do yesterday, so
give
sorry.
A rat's ass what you had to do yesterday. Be there next time, Buster.
I will. I would love to see you. It's been a minute.
It was a great time. It was a really, really good time, no doubt about it.
Did you eat in the cafeteria?
I did not. I got there at about 12:05, and I went and did the show, and then I went, had a bunch of stuff I had to do. But I'm telling you, man, Sush has always been a great guy. He was talking about a battle we got into about 35 years ago. It was phenomenal.
Was that all about?
I can't remember. And he told me to go screw myself or something. I don't remember what the hell it was, but... I tell you what, though, we've mentioned this already. He stood up for me when people claim I'm this and I'm that and I'm blah, 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 right? Including your TV station, by the way, did that to me. But, you know, don't worry about my feeling.
That was before my time.
It was last July.
No.
Yes, it was, too. What's his name? Kevin Doran? Doran?
Doran,
yeah. No, Kevin Doran. He starts off the story about me leaving KQ. He goes, Tom Bernard is, to some people, very, very entertaining, but other people think he's a racist. It's like, why would you throw that in there?
It's either one of those two.
I mean, why would you even say that on television? I call Kevin and go, Kevin, I'm going to go over and kick you right in the ass if you ever do that to me again. Should I do that? Should I call Kevin and tell him that? Why do they do those things?
I didn't see that particular introduction.
I did, actually. Somebody sent it to me.
I'm not at liberty to speak about that.
You big baby sugar tit. Hey, I've been called so many names by the news media, I don't even care anymore. Most of the people in your business
Why
are
should
complete
you?
Assholes. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to get you out of this corner I painted you into.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I can handle it. It's no deal.
But the amazing thing is the listeners find this stuff, and then they send it to me. It's like, thank you so much for that. Because I had no idea you did that.
You got your eyes and ears everywhere, man. That's good.
Apparently, but I don't really need to read that. You know what I mean?
Probably not, no.
God, I got to be honest with you. I'd be the worst racist ever. If I were racist, I'd be terrible. I'd be a terrible racist. I lived with a black man and a black woman in 1972. That's not very good for a racist. Don't you think I dropped the ball on racism there?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I should have never done that. I should have never agreed to move in with them.
Yeah, then you'd be more racist.
Or maybe you're the best racist because you're covering it up by living with black people. I'm just covering her all up,
ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Do you guys remember that Dave Chappelle skit where Dave Chappelle was a blind black
phenomenal
Ku Klux Klan?
Yeah.
And he ran the whole Ku Klux Klan.
And I love at the end when he divorces his wife because she was married to a black guy.
That's right. That's the best part. Biggest payoff of all time. That was one of the greatest bits I've ever seen in my entire life. Especially when the two white kids are playing a little rap music. Why don't you big ends turn that down? He just called us the big end. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. That man is brilliant. Dave Chappelle
and his writers. That show was so edgy. And I don't know that we appreciated at the time how edgy it was because there's still nothing that touches anything like that on TV right now.
It was, I mean, honestly, the milkman. That remember he delivered the milk to the N-I-G-G-E-R family.
Yeah.
That was their last name.
Oh, my God. I'll stop by and get paid later because I know how you don't like to pay your bills on time. So funny.
God, he was brilliant. He is brilliant.
Yes, he is.
The other half of the Chappelle show was Neil Brennan.
Yeah.
And Neil is actually going to be in town, I believe, at the Varsity Theater. He was just here not that long ago, I think last summer, but I think he's doing another four shows coming up, I believe, in July. So really funny, very poignant.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so check that guy out. So good.
We should have him on the show.
I would love to. He's a tough get.
Oh, bullshit. Let's go.
Yeah.
I'll give you one of my pistols. You can go get them.
Oh, God.
Just, hey, look what I got.
Also,
get in the car.
People look dumb with one pistol. You have to give them two.
Yeah,
okay, we'll get two. We can get two then. That'd be good.
Get a duck hunt gun, paint it black.
Did you see his latest stand-up that he released about, maybe it was 6 months ago or maybe even long? Have you seen it?
Is it Chappelle or
saying? No, it's Neil Brennan.
Okay, I didn't know if you were talking about Chappelle.
Phenomenal. I mean, he is so good in that stand-up special. It's amazing.
Are you talking about the one where he goes to three different microphones and he does three different versions of comedy?
I think maybe. I can't remember. It's been a while since. It's been months and months since I've seen it, but I just remembered it was really good.
It's very good. Yep.
A hell of a talent. That whole show, I still, they'll never beat the Chappelle show.
No.
Never. Because of the combination of those two. Was sterling. It was great. But I loved it. But the milkman, the black milkman showing up for the white family named the Big N. Hello, Big N's. How you doing today?
I just was watching some of that within the last couple of months, went back and watched some of it with my my grown son, I guess I would say now. And like it's still funny. It's as funny as it was when I saw it the first time.
Yep.
It's crazy how good that was. It's crazy to think that he walked away from it too, just the way he did.
Yeah, he did. But you're right. That show, the Chappelle show, I don't think anything will ever. Well, what's his name? God, he's a friend of mine too. Jesus, Oakerson. What the hell's his
Big J Oakerson?
Big J. Yeah, you go. Big J is one. He was one of the right. Matter of fact, Big J wrote the blind white supremacist bit with Chappelle. Those two wrote that bit. And as a matter of fact, I think Big J wrote most of that bit.
Hmm.
Very, very good writer, but he used to... One thing I just love about that is that he, whenever he comes to town, he loves to tell me when he's appearing at Acme or wherever he's... It's usually where he goes is Acme. But he loves to call him and tell me, hey, Tommy, they were going after you again during my show because I mentioned during the show that I know you and they're going after you. I'm like, good, glad to hear it. I'm still relevant. No, he's a great guy, too. Big J is a great writer. Really good.
Yeah, he is. I saw him when he opened up for Korn. Remember the band Korn?
Mm-hmm.
He opened
up
for them. And then afterwards, he was walking down the street, Hennepin Avenue, by himself. And we were driving by in the car, and I yelled out, hey, Big J! And he turned around, and he's like, hey, where are you guys going? What's going on tonight? I was like, oh, I didn't think you were going to answer me. I don't want to hang out with you.
Regret.
I'm going home. I've seen the YouTube videos. You drink everybody under the table. I don't want to wake up with a hangover.
That boy can get after
it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he used to come over to the house when I lived in Golden Valley once in a while, and that was, my God, it was unbelievable.
It's so funny how many times when I was on the KQ Morning Show and I'd bring the person in, they're like, what are you doing tonight? What's the hot spot? And I'm like, I don't want to hang out with you. I don't want to hang out with any, like, and I don't.
I'm good.
It happened all the time. Like, so tell me what's the hot spots. And I'm like, nope. I'm not. I'm such a, no thank you. Like, Social awkward, no thanks.
Well, you were just stunning to them.
Yeah, that's it.
And therefore...
I still remember one of the comedians, I was wearing a choker necklace, and he's like, do you want to see if that thing works? And I was like, oh.
Weird.
It was so... Wow. People would say the weirdest things to me, and I'd just go, neat. Well, and I'd go hide in my studio and never come out.
And I had to do that twice in the same day, because they did it to you, and then they did it to my daughter on the family
podcast. Sure.
It's like, would you guys shut the hell up and calm down? Jesus, Palomino. Oh, I got to tell you, Mr. Eagert, that I went golfing with my family last night. I played one hole and just sat in the cart the rest of the time.
That's
perfect.
Fun, though.
I just can't. I don't know what the hell happened to my golf swing. It's gone. I don't know what. I took 6 years off. Maybe that's not helpful.
Sometimes it is, though, when you don't play for a while.
I know.
Yeah.
I got to figure
out. Because you get in a bad habit, and you keep doing the bad habit over and over again, so if you stop, you get out of it.
Okay, you guys explained to me, the three of you explained to me why this is the case, okay? Why when I go to the range or take a lesson, I'm hitting the ball perfectly. And I mean, it's just perfect. You get in the golf course, totally different swing.
It's a mind game.
What the hell am I doing?
So what do they say? Golf's 80% mental? Maybe I rounded down, I'm not sure, but...
98% for me.
Sounds right.
Mm-hmm. Honest to God, I literally played so poorly I didn't even want to play anymore. It was horrible.
Did you have fun in the cart, though? I love the cart.
Catherine drives, though. That's the one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
See, there you go. You know, wherever we go, I have not driven a car with her in about 40 years.
Yeah.
She will not ride in a car if I'm driving.
You're actually a really great passenger because couple months ago, I brought you to an appointment, and a guy almost hit us, and we both were the irate about it, and it felt nice to have a passenger as mad as I was about it.
I hate that when people drive like that. Yeah. I just hate it.
Do you remember we almost got hit going on Highway 100, and I thought to myself, we would be in the news if we got hit right now, because of you.
My favorite of all time, back when 394 was Highway 12, so this is many, many years ago, I'm driving along, and this guy almost clipped me, right? And there were lights on Highway 12 back then. Obviously, it's 394 now, so there are no lights, but there were lights back then. We're driving along, and this guy almost clipped my car, cutting me off, right? So we stop at the light, and I'm about to get out of the car. I open the door, and the guy in the car next to me opens his door and hands me a pipe.
Oh, my God.
He was more pissed off about the guy cutting me off than I was.
A communal pipe.
It was this big, long pipe.
He goes, here you go.
He goes, go beat the
pay
piss
it forward.
It was actually an Indian, and it was a peace offering.
Peace pipe.
You guys are idiots. Don't ever get out of your car. Don't ever get out of your car.
Why not? You can't do any damage if you don't get out of the car.
I don't care what happens. I don't care if I am the 100% the one who did it or got it done to me. I don't ever get out of your car. Why? Are you doing?
So they'll shoot you. What the hell is the difference?
Right?
Who cares?
Who cares?
Whatever.
Don't roll your window down either because you're vulnerable if you roll the window down. I might have been punched in the face once.
Somebody punched you while you were driving?
Who did it, Chris?
This was back in the day when we were lads and we were lads.
We were
cruising the loop or whatever the hell it is you do. And then this guy, we're shooting stupid super soakers at us. It was probably filled with piss for all I know. They hit us and we pulled up to the light and I'm just like, beep, 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 yelling at him. Guy stopped at the light, gets out, comes back, walks over to my car door. And I so stupid, just instinctually roll the window down. Guy reaches in, boom, jacks me, gets up.
Really? Jesus.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Never saw him again.
Honest to God.
I wonder what his version of the story, and then I punched a guy in a car. That's wild.
And then in college, one of my best friends, these guys were chasing us. I don't know what the hell happened, but two super towny fellas, mid to late 20s or early 30s, and we were college kids, and they looked like they were out looking for a fight or something. They chased us back through these side streets. We're going 80 on these side streets. It was crazy. My buddy ended up, we finally got stopped, and we couldn't get away from him. My friend gets out of the car. He's like, all right, well, let's go face the music or whatever.
Right.
My buddy walks over to him. Guy just gets out.
Oh,
really?
Just freaking decks them. And these guys would have would have beat us. He's just, the guy yelled at us, shut the F up. And we're like,
yes,
okay.
Sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What started the problem?
We like pulled up to a light or something, and they were like guys who were out looking for a fight.
Oh, so they were like, looking for it. Okay.
Oh, for sure. Okay. For sure.
Were they drinking?
Oh, I have to assume so.
Did you pull a gun on them? That helps.
I didn't have one at the time.
Oh,
but
that's too bad.
I wish I'd had some kind of something.
No, you don't. But no, you don't. This is all dumb men stuff. You do not wish that what exactly was supposed to happen happened. Nobody died that night. We're not talking to you from some penitentiary. Everything was perfect. It's fine. You probably needed to get your ass kicked.
Probably like 25 years ago. You're right, Brittany. You're right.
You're fine. You're right.
Come on. Why can't you even open fire on one person?
I say hard pass.
The guy was being a Richard. He did deserve to have some kind of bodily harm.
He was being a Richard.
He got his, trust me, he has to live with himself. There, if you think that was his only altercation, he's got it all. Karma is good at that.
Yeah, I think he's like you remember the O'Doyle family from?
O'Doyle's.
Yeah, like this guy was like one of the brothers in the O'Doyle family. Yep. Like that was how he rolled.
Yep.
I should close by telling you, by the way, the guy that was going to hand me the pipe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I said, no, I don't need to do that. And he goes, what? I said, I don't need to go hitting somebody. He goes, I don't want you to hit him. Just go and smash out his windshield. I'm like, oh, okay. I did not take the pipe.
That'll learn him.
We moved on. He wanted me to smash the piss out of the guy's windshield. Well, the guy was being a raging prick for no reason.
Yeah, but you just keep driving. Just keep driving.
I guess. Yeah, it's the prudent thing to do. Just keep driving. You're right.
Just keep driving.
So, Chris, whatever, are there any news things we should talk about?
Yeah, we were actually talking traffic thing this morning. Very unfortunate. There was a wrong-way crash on 694 this morning in Oakdale at like 2:30 in the morning. Two people got killed, and there was a little kid in
at 2:30 in the morning?
Yeah, and the kid's at Gillette and like, you know, not good shape. You guys have probably experienced this coming to work at ridiculous hours in the morning. I've seen wrong way drivers on the freeway 10 times probably. And it's,
Chris.
Bad.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
That was Brittany.
No, God, no. It was not Brittany.
It was Brittany on
back
the
in
road.
Brittany's, back in Brittany's boozing days.
It was. At that point, I was sleeping at the station because I was drunk at some station event.
That's true, by the way.
Sleeping in a closet.
That is
or
true.
Or sleeping in the station vehicle that somebody else drove. Classy.
That all works out in the end. Well, I'm very sorry to hear this. So a little. How old did you say? A 2-year-old? Something. Like
I'm not sure. It's just described as a child, and that's It's. I'm actually surprised it doesn't happen more. When you look at a lot of those exits and the entrances, and I could see it being people being confused if they weren't impaired. I don't know what happened. I'm not trying to implicate anybody that they were impaired. I just know a lot of times that's how these things end up. But I mean, you see older folks sometimes going the wrong way down these things, and they're confusing, and let alone anything else factored in there. So there's also a train derailment up north. I know you seem to be interested in whenever we talk about those things because it's, you know, something that's been happening. And, well, it's been in the news a lot. I don't know that
it has
established it's not happening more. It's just that people are more, you know, in tune with it. But that was pretty close to the Canadian border up north. They're saying that hazardous materials did not spill, but I don't really think anybody quite knows yet because it's all the way up north.
Yeah.
So.
Doesn't it happen like 3 times a week a train crashes somewhere?
I don't remember. We looked it up last time we talked about it. I can't remember, but it definitely happens. And I know like 5 Eyewitness News did a whole big investigation. We went back and looked at that crash in Raymond that happened earlier this year. And we went back and looked and like did some record searching and yada, 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 and like found out that there had been concerns raised about that stretch of track like many, 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 many times.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, that seems like it's something that happens more and more too, that, you know, people raise red flags about it, but nothing gets done about it until after the fact, unfortunately. But
that's really unfortunate that stuff happens. There's no reason on earth for that stuff to be happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there's enough money apparently around for, you know, everything. Everyone gets some money. Maybe we could, you know, fix up the railroad tracks too.
Well, plus fact, aren't most of the railroad tracks owned by Warren Buffett or Bill Gates? They own a lot of rails. I know that.
I think we did figure out that a lot of it's private owned. Yeah,
it is. A lot of it is private owned. So why don't they maintain it? That'd be nice.
Yeah, get on that.
That'd be good. These billionaires are amazing. The only thing good about life is I can make more than just $1 billion. Like, really? You need that much money? You really need? So is this all a penis thing that I have to be the richest man on earth to show what a man I am?
Absolutely.
It's what I thought.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it makes total sense. It's like, Jesus. How much money do you need, for Christ's sake? Calm down.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not a billionaire, but it's definitely a penis thing, right?
Like, it is.
I'm going to build a rocket. Look how big my rocket is.
Well, there you have it.
It's not even hidden subliminally.
So are you not on? You're not on the air today on
no,
TV?
No, I'm off the next 2 days because I'm readying my home for a graduation party.
How exciting.
So you're taking two days off for a graduation party and therefore you dress like a prisoner? Why are you wearing that outfit?
You look.
Yeah, I actually dressed up for this.
Well, I got to tell you something. Suchere, when I appeared on the show yesterday, I sit down in the studio. He looks up at me and goes, "Take off your hat." I went, "You got it."
Really?
Yep.
Really?
He does not like it when people wear hats in the studio.
Chris is finally feeling less left out. He got to wear a hat today. He always has hat envy of you guys.
That's
I know. Seriously. It's like the greatest day. I'm so excited to be able to wear a hat.
I'll wear a hat tomorrow, so all four of us are.
It's kind of
I will
sad.
Also have a hat on tomorrow.
I'm very, very sad the fact that it's just too much to ask of me to comb my hair in the morning. It's way over the top.
Dude, if you guys didn't have to comb it, I would never, ever, ever comb my hair. It would never happen.
Just wear a hat everywhere you go.
How long does it take boys to comb their hair? 8.5 seconds?
I got
to
get ready.
That's a good look right there.
You got long hair,
stupid.
What's that character that has hair like that? There's a character, a cartoon character that has hair.
Like a little troll. Like,
yeah,
you know, like
very troll-like. Very troll-like.
You got good hair, man. For your age, that's impressive.
I have hair for a man my age.
Yeah.
That's apparently quite a thing.
Yeah.
The next time I play bingo, can you come sit on the edge of the table, Chris, for good luck?
That'd be good. Like a troll.
We'll get you a little belly ring that we can rub.
That's a hell of a hairstyle you got cooking there, man. That's a good look.
That's hat head, man.
It is indeed. All right. So basically, I think we covered. Well, that's still too depressing to me, that whole kid 2:30 in the morning, for Christ's sake. What are you doing?
Twins won, right? Yeah, talk about that.
Now, I want to talk to you about that. I'm glad you brought that up, because you get your ass kicked by terrible teams and then one of the best teams of baseball, and you beat Houston 2 out of 3 in Houston. What is going on with that team? They're driving me nuts.
Well, at least you know they got it in them. But
right.
That's even that much more frustrating. I know teams a lot of times let down when you're playing lesser opponents. It's hard sometimes to match their level. Like it seems to always happen that way. But that's where you got to have a really good team to forge through that. And like, don't play at their level. You got to be playing at the level where you can beat the Astros. But
I don't know. It was a lot. I didn't get the chance to watch the game last night because I was out till about 9 o'clock and the game was over by the time I got home. Or just about over. It wasn't quite over yet. I think they were up 8-0 the last, and it was in the 7th inning, I think, when I went to bed, something like that. But, yeah, it's nice to see them go and take, because, again, Houston is not a bad baseball team. They're damn good, actually. So it's nice to see them take 2 out of 3 from a good team.
Got to beat those cheaters.
Cheaters. Yeah, they did cheat in the World Series, didn't they?
Now, a lot of people will, like, hate the Astros for till the end of time because of that.
It's true. Did they actually
I'll join
cheat?
That
you think?
Club.
You think did they cheat? I guess that's what I was told anyway.
Rudy, did you? You look like you're.
Yeah, because there was something I saw the other day that made me laugh, because it said something like, you know, the three biggest languages in America, and one said like English, and the next said American Sign Language, and the next was a trash can, and it just said Houston Astros.
There you go.
And I laughed because I was like, if you know baseball, that is very funny, because when you go back and listen to those tapes, it's very damning. Did you listen to any of that Tom, did you hear, like, when they were, Glads were at bat and they were banging on those trash cans?
Oh, yeah.
You could hear that in the upper deck.
I know.
And just, I guess Jesus. We never put two and two together for a season and a half.
I don't get it. I don't understand any of it. I just, I'm just happy that my team won two out of three from a good team. And now they're going to let me down by getting beat by the worst team in baseball, probably.
That's how it works.
That's how it works, man. Let's piss Tom off. What do you say? Now, Rocco Baldelli did sign a 2 or 3 year extension, from what I understand. But somebody told me it was worth millions of dollars. That can't be true, is it? Does anybody know how much the contract was for?
You know, I didn't look that up. We were talking about it yesterday, and I didn't look that up.
Because someone told me it was like $10 million a year. Like, what? Why would you pay? And I don't know Rocco Baldelli. Maybe he's, I don't know, I'm not all that impressed with him, to be honest with you. I don't think he's horrible, but I don't think he's great either. But I certainly is, that can't be right, can it? $10 million a year for Rocco Baldelli? I don't see that.
That seems pretty steep for a manager, but I don't.
Although some of the players are now making $50 million a year. So, Jesus, Palomino. God, they're making a lot of money in sports now.
You got to wonder how long that the baseball money can be as high as it is, given it seems to be sort of struggling in popularity. And the fact that those salaries are still where they are is pretty remarkable, because at some point, if TV viewership's down and, you know, revenues are down for the teams, they're obviously not going to be able to, you know, be able to afford to pay that much money.
I'm not kidding you. When I was a kid, I mean, this is long before you guys even came along, but when I was 9, 10, 11 years old, I remember Bob Allison in particular, who was a great baseball player with the Twins. Bob Allison, great outfielder, great hitter, the whole deal. He would play the Twins season, and then he'd start selling cars at the car lot close to downtown. I don't know if it was Hansard or who it was. But they made so little money back then that they had to have a job in the winter to cover their expenses. A little different nowadays, don't you think?
Yeah, I believe that, though. You know, early pro football players didn't make much money either.
No, they didn't.
Anchorman, friend of mine from out in Seattle, played for the Seahawks. And after he got done playing, he went into television. And he was a news anchor at our TV station, and we would always talk to him about, you know, back in the day and whatever. And he was like, the money was garbage. Like, mm-hmm. He didn't make hardly anything, and they didn't have the, you know, the bargaining tools and mechanisms that they have today to be able to collectively get more money and you know, health insurance and all that kind of crap. It was, you know, it was a cool job, but it definitely wasn't all that lucrative back then.
No, it's pretty amazing. And then you would think that Babe Ruth was making $100,000 a year many years before that. I mean, he was the first one to make $100,000 a year, which back then was a lot of money, man. Back into what, the 30s, I guess it would have been, something like that.
Lots of smoke and lots of drink you can buy with that.
What do you mean Babe Ruth didn't smoke or drink? What are you talking about?
Blasphemy.
Did he die young, didn't he? Didn't Babe Ruth die kind of young? I think.
I'm not sure. And, I mean, it wouldn't be surprising.
53, what? Yeah.
He was only 53?
Yeah, that's baby.
Wow.
Glug, glug, glug is all I got to say to you.
Glug, glug, glug.
My favorite, and Rudy, I think you probably know this story already as a golfer, but my favorite story about him, there's a golf course on Bermuda, the island of Bermuda, and I can't remember what the name of the golf course is, and it doesn't matter, but there is a par four that would start off and then curve way off around the water, around the ocean, to the green. And Babe Ruth said, well, I'm not gonna lay up. I'm going to go ahead and just knock it on the green. And it was like 320 yards, something like that. I lost Chris. There you are. Oh, you disappeared.
Yeah, I'm here, sorry.
But in any case, as the story goes, he would not stop and ended up putting, I believe, 21 golf balls in the ocean.
Wow.
Trying to drive the green. And eventually, I guess he did do it. Took 23 shots to do it, or 24 shots. Man. But he eventually got it done.
Wow.
Gee, how could, with decision making like that, how do you only live to be 53?
Yeah, right? Right.
I love watching that boy play, though, man. The film of him playing. Great pitcher, too. Many people do not know that Babe Ruth was a great pitcher. Did you know that? Yeah. He pitched some games really, really good. Just a hell of an athlete. And I understand he was a hell of a nice guy, too, but some people say he wasn't, so I don't know where to take that one. You know,
let's believe he was a nice guy. I'm sure he was. There was probably, if he was as big of a drinker as it sounds like, I'm sure there was a sweet spot where he was like the greatest guy in the world every day. And then things probably went south at some point during the day, because that generally seems to happen with.
Well, I suppose if you, I do believe the first several years of his life, he lived in an orphanage, did he not? Didn't they take him out of an orphanage at some point? So he kind of carried that with him for the rest of his life. I tell you, the Babe Ruth story is a fascinating story. I haven't read it for years and years and years now. That's why I can't remember it too distinctly. But I'm going to read that again, the Babe Ruth story, because it's really, really interesting. The struggle he went through as a little boy and being abandoned and turned it around. But unfortunately, a lot of those guys, when they, you know, treated like crap when they were kids and they turn it around, they never live a long time. It just doesn't happen.
It's too bad that movie with him and John Goodman, when he plays Babe Ruth.
Was it good? Is it good?
It's awful.
Is it awful?
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Because I like him usually.
Yeah, usually. Yeah. John Goodman. It's pretty bad.
It is too bad. Oh, my God. You got to get back to work. Oh, no, you don't have to get back to work. What am I talking about? You're sitting around in your black T-shirt and black hat. Yeah,
I kind of do have to get back to work.
Okay, never mind. All right, thanks a lot, Pally.
I'd love to stay, but there's a pretty good chance this graduation thing could end with a divorce and a graduation. So,
Well, good luck to you. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thanks, Chris. Bye, Chris. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a break. Be right back in a couple of minutes. Tom Bernard here. Consider me your doctor of throttle therapy. On and off the water. Cruise water and luxury on a brand new Bennington pontoon from Power Lodge. Enjoy more sunsets on the water, entertain the kids, and just float all summer long. It all starts at the Lodge. The Twin Cities' newest Bennington dealer, the Power Lodge, with locations in Brainerd, Onamia, Ramsey, Miller Marina, St. Cloud. And by the way, thank you so much, Brittany, because everywhere I go, particularly women are saying, did you buy Brittany's pontoon yet? So thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it.
Hey, it's the least I can do.
Hundreds of pontoons, fishing boats are in stock all across Power Lodge locations. Your summer fun begins at the Power Lodge. I used to live on a lake in Golden Valley. I can tell you it's a great life. Even if you don't live on the water, though, it can be just as fun when you take your boat and trailer to experience the fun of an afternoon on any one of our 10,000-plus Minnesota lakes. Enjoy the best days of summer with friends in a brand-new Bennington pontoon from Power Lodge. Miller Marine in St. Cloud is the largest Bennington dealer on the planet. My friends at the family-owned and operated Power Lodge brought Miller into their family. So there's a throttle therapy prescription from your buddy Tommy B. Just go to powerlodge.com and millermarine.com and get on the water.
The new Tom Bernard Morning Show is proud to have partners like North American Banking Company, Bradshaw & Bryant, MyPillow, and attorney and advertiser Dave Bielke.
I've been advertising on Tom Bernard shows for years. I like Tom, not just because he's a good guy, but because the ads I run on his show bring me new clients that are hurt at work and need legal help. Tommy B works for me.
Grow results for your business by partnering with the Tom Bernard Morning Show. Visit TomBernardShow.com, keyword partner.
You know, I've got to say, I'm feeling fantastic. As you may have heard, I've been following the fat loss program at mnfatloss.com, and I've lost right about 23 pounds so far. I've been following the program for about 4 weeks now, a little over that, somewhere in there. And I can tell you, it feels great to be going into summer having lost the weight in just a few weeks' time. You will absolutely be able to lose weight like I've done and still enjoy the foods you love this summer. That's a huge part of it. Yeah, to be able to enjoy your summer is huge. I'm eating my favorite grilled steak and chicken, along with fresh vegetables and berries, drinking lots of water. No wonder I feel great. If you want to find out the secret to losing 20 to 30 pounds in just 8 weeks, just like I'm doing, that's about a pound of fat every day, by the way, no exercise required. To schedule your free consultation, go to mnfatloss.com. That's mnfatloss.com. Results may vary. Be sure to tell the team at mnfatloss.com that Tom Bernard sent you.
This is the Tom Bernard Morning Show Podcast.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen, and I do love the fact that we count on Brittany to do all the mechanical engineering.
Oh,
I think it's brilliant.
Multi-talent. By all the mechanical stuff, I just have to turn on a camera. Rudy does everything else, but
yeah.
Putting in the hard work here.
Well, you gotta get Gelfand straightened away time he gets here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That Gelfand? Hard work. That was my attempt to sound
Your impression of Gelfand, right?
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
Something like that in any case, yeah, but he should be in the next 5-10 minutes somewhere in there.
Love it.
Anything else interesting? You know, I haven't even looked at the headlines in the news today. I'm gonna go there right now and see if there's anything like the Star Tribune that I should know about. We already heard about the slug fest at the St. Louis Park McDonald's. And again, I'm going to run for mayor of some town. I don't know which one it's going to be. But if you start a fight in a McDonald's, you're going to get your ass handed to you. What do you think of that?
I love that. You know how many people came up to me yesterday to tell me that Jesse Ventura was in the newspaper? And I said, I'm currently trying to manifest him on this show.
Did you reach out to him?
I don't have. I'm working on it.
You gotten back to you yet?
Nobody's gotten back.
I didn't think so.
We're working on it.
Jesse's very touchy about that kind of stuff.
I ain't working with the guy because he was mean to me once. He made fun of me.
It's like, settle down, you big baby.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good Ventura.
I know, he's good at it.
I didn't think he had that in you, but that's a great one.
That's what I should do. Are there any impressionists anymore? Are they even around anymore?
So my buddy John Kite, who I go on the road with, is a guy who, when famous people like Jeff Bridges or Tom Hanks aren't available to do ADR work, to just add in a line to a movie, they bring John in to record as Tom Hanks or Jeff Bridges or Seth Rogen or whoever, yeah.
That makes sense. But as far as, like, back in the day on Johnny Carson, they would bring these. I was trying to think of the famous impressionists. I can't really remember their names anymore, but they would come. They were very, very good at it. And I was always fascinated by that. And I can do voices that kind of have a little element of my real voice. What are you doing? Get away from me.
I'm listening.
You were breathing on me.
You're pretty good. The ones that you do well.
Yeah, I don't. I should. You do have to work on that stuff.
You got a good Harry Carey. You got a good Sid Hartman. You got a good Ventura.
And I still love Rodney Dangerfield.
That's a good one.
I just told that story on Sushi Show yesterday about the Jeff Cesario line, which is still my favorite. I think I told you that, didn't I? This is
yeah.
Like, God,
yeah, yeah.
I love that. It's magnificent.
Stick to the tumbling.
Stick to the tumbling.
Yeah.
Why are you wearing a White Castle T-shirt?
Sorry, he was going to be on the wrong. Hang on one second.
You're on the wrong microphone.
There you go. That's okay.
I have to sit next to him? I told you I don't want to sit by Gelfand.
That's right. We got him now. Either one mic is fine now. Yep.
He doesn't have any headphones on. What are you doing?
This is just a little too intimate for me.
Well, then go sit over there. We'll turn that microphone on if you want.
I'm just kidding.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
I've known you long enough to know you're not kidding.
This is fine.
You're a disaster. Let me just point that out.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm here.
He goes, hey, Mike,
I'm alive.
Well, it's a good thing you're alive. So what's new? Anything good?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful day. The Twins are still above 500.
Explain something to me. We were just talking about that with Chris Eggert. How do you lose to horrible teams and then you beat Houston, which is a pretty damn good team, 2 out of 3? How does that happen?
It's mostly a flip of the coin when you're a 500 team.
Well, I suppose
you can beat anyone and you can lose to anyone.
Right. I suppose that does make sense, but I did not expect them to win 2 out of 3 from Houston.
No, I didn't either, but the pitching was the thing.
Yeah.
And their pitching was just better than Houston's.
Yep. Well, so in other words, you're telling me they didn't get to the bullpen much?
Well, when they did, it worked out okay.
It did.
So they got some arms, and I think they're going to be a solid 500 team all year.
Probably going to make the playoffs.
If they're 500, of course.
Yeah, if they're 500, they'll make the playoffs.
In this division, yeah.
God, that division's terrible.
They're like the Twins are like the hitless wonders.
Yeah. You're right about that. No question about it.
But, as long as charity is still alive and well in Minnesota, and if you don't believe it, just look at Max Kepler.
God, what happened to him?
How can he possibly be in the major leagues?
I know. What happened? I don't get it.
Well, he had like 2 good years. Like his first full year or maybe second year was pretty good.
Yep.
And then he had the juiced ball year.
Yeah,
and
that's
every
right.
other year
that's
was right. a disaster.
Yeah, I don't know. He's hurt right now, isn't he? Or is he back?
He's always hurt in some way.
Yeah, I
don't think he was in great shape to begin the season. I mean, if you had hit like 212 or whatever he hit last year, which was just normal for him, slugging percentage of like 375 or something, wouldn't you? And you're 30 years old, which is you're not quite at your peak anymore. unless you're really good.
Right.
You know, wouldn't you devote the off season to getting better?
You would think.
But no, did he consult his dietary expert? Did he work out with his workout expert? No, he just went to Europe and, just saw the sights.
Well, I mean, I get a call from Brittany like 2-3 times a week saying, Tom, I'm at home right now working on my delivery.
And I would my mic technique.
Your mic technique.
Always working
on
that.
It at the house. Yeah, so you got to do this. Well, you know, I'm this far away like I'm supposed to be.
Yep, you know me, always perfecting the craft.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I spend probably at least 50 hours a week talking to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one else is around, is that what you're saying?
Well, because I'm a good listener.
Yeah, you to yourself.
Yeah,
you do
not
a great
to others,
job.
But to myself.
No, I understand that completely. There's no question about it, ladies and gentlemen. So what else? So you got the Twins that they did win 2 out of 3 from Houston. I'm very, very impressed.
Mm-hmm.
What other good things are happening in life?
Well, we did get a little rain yesterday.
Did we really?
Was it yesterday or the day before?
It might have been the day before because Rudy, I think, was talking about that already this morning. It's supposed to rain all day today, but it didn't rain at all, I don't think.
I don't think so. It's like 50. It's another 50-50 thing. We live in a 50-50 state.
We really do, don't we?
Yeah, and could be worse.
Some days I don't know if it could be worse. I got to be honest with you, some days. I just... People do get whipped up, and I suppose that's everywhere. They just get all whipped up about this, that, and the other thing, and it's like, oh, God, settle down, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
So, in any case, what else in your life? Anything good?
I celebrated my birthday.
You had your birthday last week.
And I went to the Dairy Queen, and I love the Hopkins Dairy Queen.
Where's that now? The Hopkins Dairy Queen.
It's on the rise part of Main Street.
It's
in the the real people line of.
Is it down toward 169?
So it's way down toward. It's on the western edge of Main Street in Hopkins.
Oh, okay.
About maybe 17th Street.
Is that kind of a few blocks away from where the movie theater used to be?
Yeah.
There. That's what I thought.
Yeah,
okay, so I know where you're talking.
It's down a little bit to the west.
And there's a short film available.
Yes, that's right. That's right. My buddy Jeff Strait, who's a great camera guy, producer, director, writer, he does it all. I said to him, let's go to Dairy Queen and we'll celebrate my birthday with a medium cup of vanilla Dairy Queen.
Sure.
Because I'm really... Off the mic, I'm a kind of a vanilla kind of guy.
You're a vanilla? Yeah, I've always known you to be that the last 40 years.
Yeah, so we went out there, and it's the typical Dairy Queen that is still standing, because mm-hmm. The Chill and Grill ones, mostly they were just sold for the land because because Warren Buffett and
he bought them all, yeah.
Well, he did, and then he figured out he talked about how much he loved Dairy Queen. Oh, you know, I'm buying Dairy Queen because I want to preserve this great American institution. Well, you know what that means. Sold them as fast as he could.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what he discovered was he didn't like Dairy Queen as much as he liked selling them for the land.
Yes, I do understand. Remember who he bought it from? Who he bought Dairy Queen from?
Who?
I'm almost certain this is true, but he bought it from Rudy Luther.
Are you kidding me?
We could look that up. Wow. Somebody look that up. When did Rudy Luther own Dairy Queen? I'm almost certain that's true.
Well, because it was always the headquarters was always in Minnesota.
Yeah,
I think it was in Edina, wasn't it?
Absolutely, right there along one Highway 100.
So now I guess the headquarters is probably in Omaha.
Yeah, because that's where Warren Buffett is. That's true. And does his wife still live upstairs and his girlfriend live downstairs?
Is that right?
That's a true story. Oh, yeah. His wife lives on one floor of his house and his girlfriend lives on the other floor of the house.
That's what I call double jeopardy.
Yeah, I would say so.
Now, you know what? Some days that doesn't seem like a bad situation for anybody involved.
I'll tell your husband that.
That's what I'm saying.
To hear that. That'd be great.
If he just had a girlfriend, she can get the annoying parts.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great, though, if you did that, your wife lived on one floor, your girlfriend lived on another floor, and you came home from work one day and go, God damn it, I hate to tell you, honey, but we have to add a third floor. That'd be fabulous.
We're going to have to do a walkout in the basement.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a walkout in the basement. Exactly.
And, you know, that's a reminder to me that there are some married people who actually live in the same house.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Terrible. That wouldn't work for me.
I know somebody that's been married for 50 damn years, and they've never lived together.
Never
lived together.
Wow. Because I think, you know, I'm at the point where I live together. I lived with my wife for probably half the years we were married.
There's only half, really?
About half, yeah.
I didn't know it was only half. I thought it was a little more than that.
But well, it's about half, yeah.
It all works out. Yeah. I was at the St. Louis Park Lunds Byerly's, and she wasn't in there yesterday. She's always in there when I go in there.
Really? I was in there yesterday.
What time did you go in? I just must have missed you.
Oh, gosh. I think it was like about 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I was I was busy. Yeah. I was running around like a madman.
This is the Tom Bernard Morning Show.
The Tom Bernard Morning Show.
Streamed every morning on the Tom Bernard Show app and anytime on demand wherever you get your podcasts.